Hey, last week when I was making all those announcements about like changing the name of our church, I was freaking out. Like I was like a smooth as a swan on, like above water, but I was paddling like crazy underwater trying to hold it together. We prayed and we felt like God wanted us to make these changes. Most people in America, most people in the world believe that there is a God you pray to. Like if you take Christianity, Islam, Hindus, Shintus, everybody prays to somebody, right? We believe in prayer. Where things get a little socially awkward is when we believe God speaks back. And then it's like, oh, okay. It's one thing if we want to pray to God or to a God, but I don't know that I want to hear back from God. Thank God I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I do feel like I've heard the Lord speak to my heart. Now, that might not seem super spiritual, like, don't you want to hear the audible voice of God? No, because when I read the Bible, almost every time the audible voice of God comes, like the earth opens up and thousands of people die right after that. So I'm happy with the Lord speaking to my spirit. I'm happy with the Lord putting things in my heart. I'm happy that the Lord speaks to a prophetic person and gives me a prophetic word. I'm happy that the Lord speaks to me from the word of God, the Bible. But, you know, the audible word of God was usually followed by people dying. So I'm happy if I don't hear the audible voice of God. I've had prophetic dreams. I've heard the voice of God countless times in my life. Now, here's the funny thing. When I talk to people about how to hear the word of the Lord in their life, sometimes people are like, how do I know if I'm not going to hear an audible voice of God? How do I know God is speaking to my heart? How do I know it's not the devil speaking to my heart? I'll tell you some truths. The devil is a liar. In fact, the devil cannot tell the truth. The devil can never move you forward towards God. So if what you're feeling in your heart to do has come to you from Scripture, has come to you from time in prayer, if it is encouraging to you, if it is life-giving to you, if it leads you in any way to advance the kingdom of God, that is God speaking to your heart. The devil literally cannot lead you into righteous things. So then some people are like, well, I'm a new Christian. How do I know? It's not the devil. How do I know it's not my own mind speaking to me? If you are a Christian, where does God's spirit live? You see where we're going with this? Now, according to the word of God, if you are a student of the word and you're reading the Bible will renew our mind. So if you're having these thoughts that are good, if you're having these thoughts that are encouraging, if you're having these thoughts to pray for somebody, if you're having thoughts to go on a missions trip, if you're having a thought to fast, if you're having a thought to advance the kingdom of God, that's God speaking through your heart or even through your mind to encourage you. Because that's how God, he's always going to move you forward in the kingdom. In fact, that's actually a really good test. If it sounds like something God might say, it's probably, you know, God. Like if it sounds like scripture, like if you even want to put a little King James on it, but thus saith the thou shalt give in the offering for world missions. The devil doesn't want you to do that. See what I'm saying? But God would. So when you feel something in your heart, it also helps to write it down. And if it looks like something, yeah, God could have said that 2,000 years ago. I believe that. Now, if you don't know your Bible, then it sounds like you need to spend more time reading the Bible. Because if you're trying to hold up a prophetic word against what the Scripture says, you need to know what the Scripture says. So spend more time in the Word. I remember fall 1995, I was single. And I was a roadie, did a lot of sound and lighting and video production, and I had just gotten a lead. A buddy of mine was going to help me get on the Newsboys tour in the spring, in January, and my lease was up. Yeah, the Newsboys in 1995, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. I was going to be a lighting tech, and I had to be in Nashville like on January 4th or 5th to meet up with the tour bus. But I had like 2 months to kill because my lease was up in my apartment. I had a little money in my pocket. So I just thought I'd drive around the country and visit friends. I went up to Chicago, and I was having dinner with a pastor of a church in the Chicago area. We had a nice time, and then I went on to South Bend, Indiana. I'm staying at a friend's house. And that next morning, after having dinner with that pastor, the Lord woke me up. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 in the morning. It was still dark. I remember laying in this room in a single bed, and like I sat up, like, and I'll be honest, I wasn't super G.I. Joe Jesus at the time, so the word of the Lord had been quiet for a while. I was surprised God still knew my address, right? But I felt the Lord wake me up, and it wasn't audible, but it was as if the Lord was screaming in a megaphone to my heart, go back to Chicago, and stay with that pastor and work for that church. I'm like, no, that's crazy, because that's a small church. There's no money, and I'm giving up future career opportunities. But I knew it was the word of the Lord to my heart, so I obeyed. And I called him up. I said, hey, you want a youth pastor, like, for free? Or maybe a little bit of money? And he offered me $200 a month and sleeping on his couch. What an offer. What a deal. But because I knew God had spoken to me, I said, sold. I called my buddy in Nashville. I said, hey, I'm sorry. I need to jump off the tour. I said, oh, okay, sorry. Bummer. I went to Chicago. I worked for this small church. And I was there for 6 weeks when all of a sudden this stunning redhead from Sweden showed up to work at the same church. What a coincidence. When it didn't work out with that girl, I settled for Josie. It's what you get for watching the live stream. If you're visiting this morning, my wife is a stunning redhead from Sweden. But I think you figured that out. I remember though, when I was laying in the bed that night, when I felt God speak to me to stay in Chicago, I didn't know about the cute redhead. I didn't know my life was about to be transformed. All I knew is God had spoken to my heart, and my mind began racing with all the pros and all the cons, because there was very few pros and there was a lot of cons, but I was sure that God had spoken to my heart. So again, we like to pray to God, but it's kind of unsettling when we feel like God is speaking back to us. It should be something that builds our faith, but often, when we let it race through our minds, it ends up opening the door to fear and unbelief and anxiety and doubt. And we're like, did God really say what he said? Which then in the Christmas season reminds me of Mary, this teenage virgin, unmarried but engaged to this guy. And then like an angel comes to her and says, I have a word from God for you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel said. You have found favor with God. You will conceive. You will give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary said, hold up. How is this even possible? Because I'm still a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come over you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The baby will be born holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth, this is her cousin, she's pregnant even in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son. She's actually already in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail. Look at that. The word of God will never fail. Here's Mary. Here's this teenager's response. Okay, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. That's a smart girl. She heard the word of the Lord and she responded, well, let it come true in my life. Why? Because of verse 37, the word of the Lord will never fail. The word of the Lord spoken over your life will never fail. Sometimes we fail to believe it, but the word of the Lord spoken over your life will never fail. We need to be more like Mary. And grab a hold of the word of the Lord and say, this is true for my life. Now, here's a quick truth that I want to point out to you. How did this young girl hold on to the word that God had spoken over her life? If you keep reading the Luke 1 story, she immediately went to find her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. So she went to Liz and she's like, hey, you're not going to believe this, but I just had this angel come to me and say that I'm about to have a Messiah baby. And Elizabeth's like, oh, I can believe it, all right. I do look about 6 months pregnant, don't I? My wife hates that joke. And I'm not going to lie. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but at the beginning of November, I've already started my fast. And I've lost 9 pounds in the last 15 days. So I'm about to 5 months pregnant. I'm down 5. Stop clapping for 9 pounds. I was overeating anyway. So here, if you want to hold on to the word of the Lord spoken over your life, your heart, your marriage, your faith, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your ministry opportunities, if you want to hold on to the word of the Lord, you got to get away from people that don't believe. You got to get away and go be around people of faith. Because she got around Elizabeth. She got around somebody else that was contending for a word of the Lord in her belly. Because what happens is faith is multiplied when you get around other people of faith. When you're plugged into a dream team, when you're here every Sunday, when you're in a life group in January, your faith for the word of God that you're contending for is actually multiplied. But when you're alone, when you're around unbelievers, when you're around haters, the word of the Lord is divided. It's cut in half. So because when we're alone, we allow our thoughts to begin, our mind begins to race and we begin to doubt. So even doubting, like a couple of months later, Mary's baby bump starts to develop. There's this teenager who's not yet married in a heavily religious Jewish culture. That's not okay. And she's rubbing her baby belly and she's like, did God really say that I was going to have a Messiah baby? And then she's going back to all the times she's had interaction with Joseph. Did God really say that this was going to be a supernatural, miraculous thing? Maybe Joseph and I shouldn't have held hands that one time so long. Maybe we shouldn't have hugged that one hug. We, you know, the way we hugged that one time. She was homeschooled. Maybe she didn't know no better.
Yes.
I don't know how good Mary's parents taught her biology and anatomy. So what happens is you begin to doubt that what God's doing in your life is supernatural and you try to find a natural reason for it. So last Sunday, I started talking about all that we've heard God and we believe God wants us to do for 2020. And like I said, I'm a swan above water. I'm down here and I'm pumping my fist and I'm all full of fire and faith and all that. But underwater, I'm freaking out. I'm like my little paddles, my little webbed feet are freaking out. I'm just trying to stay above water because I'm like, I didn't even want to tell you guys I was so scared. But then I believe that God had spoken. Did God really say that he was going to do something amazing in our church next year? Did God really say we should go to 2 services? Did God really say we should call our church the Uncommon Church? Did God really say we should remodel this campus because that's going to cost $4 or $5 million? And I've looked at our building fund. We ain't got $4 or $5 million. We're kind of a blue-collar church. Like, how are we going to raise $5 million? And what happens is a splash of doubt comes in, which leads to a tidal wave of unbelief. And that'll happen in your life. It'll happen in your heart. That'll happen over your marriage. We have got to hold on to the word of God spoken over our lives, over our marriage, over our kids, over our health, over our finances, over our ministries. Did God really say yes? Yes, God really did say. So believe it, own it, and move forward with it. Get away from people that don't believe and surround yourself with people that are going to help you to believe. This entire battle is actually fought in the mind. We lose this battle in our mind by thinking we're never going to get breakthrough. We're never going to get free from addiction. We're never going to get holy. We're never going to get healthy. We're never going to get right. And the whole battle is lost in our mind because we're giving into the devil's playbook. God's playbook is huge. He can do so many amazing, wonderful, creative things. The devil's playbook is a little pamphlet. It's got one play. And it goes all the way back to Genesis. It goes all the way back to the beginning. If you want, I'm going to show you the devil's playbook because he's only got one play. We're going to read the last verse of Genesis chapter 2 and then immediately continue into Genesis chapter 3. If you want to read it in your Bible, if not, it's going to be on the screens. But just read this all as one portion of scripture. We'll start with Genesis 2:25 and keep going into 3:1. Now the man, it's talking about Adam and Eve, they were both naked, but they felt no shame. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden? And then Eve's response, oh, of course we can eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden. The only fruit from the tree that we're not allowed to eat is the one in the middle of the garden. God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. Here's the serpent. You won't die. That's a lie. Why? Because the devil's talking. If the devil's lips are moving, he's lying. You won't die, the serpent replied. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. She wanted that wisdom that it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and she ate it, and then she gave some of it to her husband who was with her. Husbands, you are the head of the house. Just leave that verse up for a minute. Why did Adam even allow Eve to talk to the devil? When there was a threat against his family, why wasn't it Adam that stepped to the front of the line and said, you got to get up out of here? Husbands, the reason this whole thing happened is because there was a husband who was not rightfully protecting his wife. The first punch should land on your jaw. Man of, okay, let's get back. I'm about to preach a men's sermon right here. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame in their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Let me tell you something. The devil hates God. And we humans, we are literally made in the image of God. So we constantly remind the devil of God. because we're made in the image of God. So there's two things that the devil always wants to do to destroy you, and they're actually found right here in these portions of Scripture. Genesis 2:25, the man and his wife were naked, but they felt no shame. In God's perfection, we will never feel shame. Genesis 3:7, at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame. So they sewed fig leaves together. God doesn't want you to ever feel shame, but we all, if you've been through the seventh grade, you've experienced shame. We've all experienced shame at some point in our life. The church has been famous for shaming people. We actually partner together with the devil when we shame other people. And then God forbid somebody in the church actually makes a mistake, they fall into sin. We are the only army that shoots that's wounded when they fall down instead of picks them up. Because the devil wants to bring shame in the same area that God wants to bring freedom in your life. And ever since the Garden of Eden, the devil will try to derail the plan for your life, the word of the Lord spoken over your life through shame. Enter Jesus. That's why Jesus came, was to take shame away from you. He took shame to the cross so that you could be restored to a shame-free walk with God. He took our shame literally to the cross. We read it in Hebrews chapter 12. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because there's joy awaiting him. Because he endured the cross, he disregarded its shame. So he was therefore placed in the seat of honor on God's throne. Jesus endured the shame of the cross so that we wouldn't have to. He endured public humiliation. Roman crucifixion was horrific and it was public. They would strip the prisoners naked. Ironic, because of how shame entered into the world in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus was stripped, he was beaten, he was stripped naked, and he was hung in front of all of Jerusalem to see. He took shame to the cross. And like sickness, and like sin, and like death, he overcame shame so you wouldn't have to live in shame. So that the word of the Lord spoken over your life can be believed in. How do we believe in it? How do we hold true to it? The beginning of Hebrews 12:2, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's go back to the Adam and Eve story in closing. How did the devil trick Adam and Eve to sin against God and to live in shame? He asked a question in Genesis 3:1. Did God really say you shouldn't eat that tree? Did God really say that the devil wants to destroy the work that God's doing in your life by getting you to question, did God really say? Did God really say that your sins have been forgiven? Did God really say that you've been set free from addiction? Did God really say that you're a new creation and you're no longer a slave to sin or fear or anxiety or unbelief? Did God really call you to serve in a dream team in this church? Did God really call you to lead that life group in January? Did God really speak to you about fighting for your marriage, fighting for your kids, fighting for your health, fighting for your mental strength and health, fighting for your physical health? Fighting for your financial freedom. Be like Mary, not like Eve. Contend for the word of the Lord spoken over your life, because the devil wants to come with the only play in his playbook and say, did God really say? Because he always wants you to question what God has spoken over your life, which is also why it's so important that you know what the Bible says about you, so that you know what God, it's important that you read the scriptures with us next year in 2020. I want you to know what the Bible says about you. Because if you don't know what the Bible says about you, you're going to believe the lie the devil speaks over you. And that comes through Bible study, that comes through prayer, that comes through not just praying to God, but waiting on God and listening to hear from God. And if you don't learn to recognize the voice of God speaking in your life, you'll have nothing to hold on to, nothing to believe in. And if you don't believe in the word of the Lord, you will believe in the lie of the devil. You'll believe in the shame that comes from your ex-spouse, the way they spoke over you. You'll believe in the way that coach used to cut you down, or your dad or granddad used to cut you down. You'll believe in the way that people flip you off on 183. You'll believe the lies that are spoken over you if you don't know the truth. You believe you're always gonna be poor. You believe you're always gonna be addicted. You believe you're always gonna struggle with fear and anxiety and depression and panic attacks. You believe you're always gonna be addicted to pornography. You believe you're always gonna have an alcohol problem. You believe it. That you'll never find freedom, that's a lie. You need to know the word of the Lord and contend for it in your life. Our culture is literally, this used to be a Christian country. This used to be a Judeo-Christian, God-fearing nation. And in the last 20 years, we've had to answer these same questions. Did God really say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Did God really say the Bible is the true word of God? Did God really say that marriage should be one man and one woman? Did God really say that you shouldn't have sex outside of the covenant of marriage? Did God really say we shouldn't get drunk or high? Did God really say all of these Christian-y things that we're supposed to live by? I'm telling you, the destiny of your life hinges on whether or not you believe what God said. The word of the Lord needs to be preeminent in your life. I believe the word of God spoken over my life. Yes, God did say. That's what I believe in more than everything else in this world. Here's the last thing that we'll talk about in closing. Why is this so important? The Virgin Mary, this Christian kid, Jewish kid, right? She knew that the word of the Lord had spoken over her life. And the fact that she believed it, all of humankind was hinging on whether or not that teenager responded to the word of God. I'm telling you, at our church, 300 souls getting born again in 2020 hinges on whether or not we believe in the word of God. There's a lot at stake here. Your marriage is at stake if you believe the word of the Lord. Your peace, your joy, your family, your ministry, your children, your grandchildren. There's a lot riding on whether or not you believe the word of the Lord. Did God really say? Yes, I believe God actually did say. But can I point out one final verse to you? Genesis 3:1, the devil said, hey, Eve, did God really say? What did Eve respond in verse 2 and 3? Oh, yeah. We're not supposed to, we can eat of any tree, but we're not supposed to eat of the one tree in the middle. Eve quoted the word of the Lord. Eve was a good Christian that went to church every Sunday. She served on a dream team. She was in a life group. She knew it all. She memorized the word of the Lord, but she didn't live by it when push came to shove. Just because you're sitting here, just because you're watching online, just because you're a good Christian, just because you know what the Bible says about stuff, you need to live according to the word of God. You need to do, actually do what God's calling you to do. Don't just listen, but do what the Bible says. It's so important, because if not, your life could be derailed by believing a lie. I'm always shocked by people in the church that still get drunk or get high or sleep with people they're not married to, or they don't serve in the church, or they don't even come to church regularly, or they don't tithe, or like all these things kind of blow my mind, because I expect that of non-believers. For our church, we should be an uncommon people. We should be the people that believe the word of the Lord and we contend for it. Hop up on your feet, because I want to point out one more thing. It's going to blow your mind. Let's go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve, they believe the lie. They don't contend for the word of the Lord. They eat the fruit, right? They sinned against God. They're separated from God. They experienced shame for the first time in their lives. Let's read Genesis 3:8, because I didn't finish the story. Let's finish the story. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid themselves from the Lord among the trees. The Lord God called out, "Where are you?" He replied, "Oh, I heard you walking in the garden. I was ashamed. I was afraid. I was naked. So I hid from you." Can I point something out to you? God already knew that Adam and Eve had sinned. And yet he still came to walk with them in the garden. In fact, God called out, "Where are you?" God never asks a question he doesn't already know the answer to. He knew they had sinned against him, but he still wanted intimacy with them. He still wanted to walk in the garden with them. And he called out, "Where are you?" Listen, if you're here this morning, don't hide from God. Don't hide from the Lord. Because he's calling out, "Where are you? I want to walk with you." And often we go, no, Lord, I sinned against you. I got drunk last night. I got high last night. I looked at porn last night. I slept with somebody I wasn't married to last night. I've said bad things. I've thought bad things. I've done bad things. And the Lord's like, yeah, don't hide, because I still want to walk with you in this garden. And I'm calling out to you today, Where are you? Because the Lord, through, what did we talk about earlier? Through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, through the, what happened on the cross, He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to wash away your sin. He wants to remove your shame and restore you to that place of intimacy with God. He ain't scared of your sin. He wants to remove it from your life. He loves us so much. He's so good. Can we pray together? Can we pray together? Listen, if you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not right with God, today is your day. Today is absolutely your day to repent of your sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life. This might be the first time, or it could be the first time in a long time that you've prayed this prayer, but today is your day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word that you've spoken over our hearts and our lives. I thank you for all of the thousands of promises from Genesis to Revelation that you've spoken over your Jesus followers in the Bible. And we claim every one of them, and we want to live by them. And Lord, we don't want to live under shame. We don't want to live under guilt. We don't want to live under the weight of sin, because you've already paid that price. And Lord, I thank you that even though you know we're sinners, you still love us, and you still want to walk with us, and you still call out to us. So Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that today would be the day of freedom. I pray that today would be the day that we contend for the word of the Lord spoken over our lives, that we wouldn't let doubt and unbelief and fear or anxiety come in, but that we, when we're asked the question, did God really say, we could shout to heaven, yes, yes, and amen. We believe the word of the Lord over our lives. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've had a minute to think about it, but you know, you need to get right with God. You need to repent of sin. You need to ask Him to forgive you. You need to turn your life over to Jesus. The Lord is calling out from the garden, hey, where are you? I want to walk with you. I'm not mad at you. This might be the first time you've ever prayed this prayer, or the first time in a long time, but you hear the word of the Lord and you want to respond. I'd like to know who I'm praying for, though. Would you raise your hand up real high? Just shoot it up right now and say, preacher, pray for me. I've got to get right with God today. I see your hand in the back. I see your hand on the side. I see your hand over there. I see your hand over there. I see your hand over there. Come on, anybody else? Raise it up. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. That's so fun. You might be like, man, I just wanted to pray a prayer. I didn't know everybody was going to shout. We already know that our team wins the Super Bowl, the Holy Ghost Super Bowl. We already know what happens. We already know that Jesus is the victor. And you're about to experience it. Some of you for the first time, some for the first time in a long time. Hey, why don't we all pray this prayer together? Can we do that? If you mean it, if you believe it in your heart, pray this out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I repent and I turn from my sinful life to you. Forgive me, Lord, for believing the lie. Help me, Lord, to contend for the truth, to walk as a child of God, to live holy, to study the word, to be a person of prayer, a person of worship. Make me a disciple so I can follow you. In Jesus' name, let's pray this. I receive the gift of eternal life. Let's pray this. Lord, take away my shame. Wow. Just imagine Him wrapping His arms of love around you as He just rips off shame, and He rips off fear, and He rips off anxiety, and He rips off sin, and He rips off those chains that have held you for so long, and He gives you the gift of eternal life. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we receive it. We honor you. Wow. Hallelujah. I guess I should say amen, or what didn't count, right? Amen. Listen, I'm so proud of you. I saw four or five hands shooting up all across the room. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Wow.